All right, fellas, so you're still alive in your fantasy playoffs, or maybe you're just trying to avoid that last place punishment. This video will help you. I want to discuss 10 players and some of the best matchups and situations that these players are in this week, but it's not going to be your obvious guys like Christian McCaffrey. Of course, you're starting him. These players are going to be the guys that I have been asked most about so far this week, heading into week 16, and let's start with a running back in Carolina. And this man's name is Chuba Hubbard, who a lot of people have had him on their rosters the last couple of weeks, and they've noticed that he's been getting a lot of touches, 20 plus last week. And it wasn't just last week. It's been the past few weeks to the past month that he's had a strong role in the Panthers offense. We can highlight these last two games where it's really spiked his overall snaps compared to Miles Sanders. You can see right here, according to Fantasy Live's data, our official data partner, all of this is free data. You can check it out, the tools down below. He's played 75% of the snaps during this time, and he's seen 64% of the backfield carries. That breaks down to over 20 carries per game. And it's just correlating really nicely with the overall offense. The Panthers are running the ball 10% more the past month, probably because they can't block anything for Bryce Young right now. And that point is proven right here on Player Profile. The protection rate for Bryce Young in the Carolina Panthers ranks 29th in the NFL. Again, out of 32 teams, it is 29th. Their offensive line, if you watch any of the games, has been really bad this year. Miles Sanders has not been great in pass protection, getting him off the field even more, and that benefits Hubbard to get on the field. So all of this is good news. It kind of shows that, yeah, his role is probably going to stay pretty secure. Maybe not 20 plus opportunities, but you can get your 15, 16, and especially in this week's upcoming matchup. The Panthers are going to get the best matchup maybe they can find in terms of a rushing attack to have a good game. They're going to be at home. They're 5-point underdogs. Again, this is the worst team in the NFL. Just picked up their second win of the year last week. This Packers team, even though they've struggled the last few weeks, is definitely a better team, but it is a close spread. Just 5 points against that Packers defense that gives up the most production to running backs the past 2 months. And we just saw this continue last week when they faced Rashad White and they gave up 139 total yards on 23 touches, a touchdown. The week before, that was Saquon Barkley going over 100 yards and finding the end zone as well. So you can definitely start Hubbard this week, and I actually want to be prioritizing in some of my flex decisions, because if I could lock up 16, 18 plus touches again in this matchup and having some receiving game work, I like that. And I also loved what I saw from Darren Waller last week. Look, we were told that heading into week 15, he was going to be limited, and then in the week 16, 17, 18, if there was a reason for him to play, well, then he'll see some more work. And now this is exactly what we got, as you can see right here on Fantasy Live's data. In week 15, he only ran 47% of the routes. It was actually 42% of the routes or the snaps played, but here's the encouraging part. His targets, as you can see right there, 15%. He sees 6 targets in this game, the second most on the team. The only guy who saw more usage was Darius Slayton, who saw 2 more targets, but Darius Slayton was out there for over 95% of the snaps. He saw 50% more playing time than Waller, who is only going to see more work moving forward. And that should begin this week in his matchup against the Eagles. Look, the Giants are 10.5-point underdogs. They're still technically fighting for a playoff spot after they got that big win against the Packers a couple weeks back to just keep them somewhat alive in the race, but as 10.5-point underdogs, an Eagles team that is coming off of a 3-game losing streak now, you're going to see probably New York have to be forced to throw, which benefits Darren Waller. And not only does that benefit Darren Waller, but his matchup against an Eagles defense does too, because they play man coverage at a top 10 rate, which means Waller's going to have one-on-one matchups against the Eagles linebackers, which is probably the weakest part of their defense. And let me remind you how much of an athlete Darren Waller is, basically a converted wide receiver. You can see right here, the closer you are to 100th percentile at your position, the better, and this is rare, but he's there in speed. He has top 1% speed of all time at this position. He has top 10% burst and agility is great. His strength, his catch radius. Obviously, we know Darren Waller is a freak athlete, a very good tight end when healthy, and now he's going to have one of the best matchups, one-on-one matchups against linebackers of Philadelphia. So yes, as an 11-point underdog, I think there'll be more volume here. Tommy DeVito should throw over 30 times in this game, and I think we're going to see Darren Waller probably earn a 7-plus target game. Start him. And let's stick in New York with the other New York team, and that is the Jets, because Garrett Wilson, I'm getting a lot of questions on it, and it makes sense. Highly talented player. It's the same old story. The offense has been atrocious, and that was the case in week 15. The offense was really bad. Zach Wilson had to leave that game early after completing just 4 of 11 passes, 36% of his passes, and then Trevor Siemian came in and did not do much better. As you can see right here, Siemian himself completed or attempted 26 passes, completed barely 50% of them for only 110 yards. He was averaging a little bit over 4 yards per attempt, not much downfield, not much accuracy on these, which meant the entire passing offense struggled, including Garrett Wilson. But that was a much more difficult matchup against a Dolphins defense that, since getting healthier, since getting Jalen Ramsey back in the secondary, they've been arguably the best defense in the NFL. This week is a totally different story, because the Jets this week are actually 3-point favorites against the Commanders, so a totally different script than when they were double-digit underdogs against Miami last week. And look, the Jets, they're going to get a matchup against the Commanders who allow the most production to opposing wide receivers this year. And now there's also a chance that Aaron Rodgers is going to be cleared to play this week. Now, the Jets were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, so there's honestly absolutely no reason for Rodgers to come come back other than to maybe just kind of give this team a little bit of motivation heading into next year. But if there's a risk at all, I don't think they're going to be putting him out there. But no matter who the quarterback is, Garrett Wilson in this matchup, whether it's Zach Wilson and he's healthy, Aaron Rodgers comes back, or if it's even Trevor Siemian, I like Wilson this week. Now, before we get to this next running back, who I think is going to be maybe the number one bounce back candidate for week 16 after a lousy week 15, I just want to say to hit the subscribe button if you're not already. We're very close to 100,000 subscribers on the channel. Might be one of the last videos of the year as we're approaching now, you know, kind of those weeks when there's only championship teams left. You kind of know what to do at that point. I appreciate it if you just double check and hit that subscribe button. Now, that player that I'm talking about to be a big bounce back this week is Ezekiel Elliott, because it's kind of been a little bit of a roller coaster with him as a starter. If you recall, in week 14, a gross Thursday night football game with a 30-point total against the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ezekiel Elliott had an absolute day with Ramondre Stevenson not active. He had 29 touches. He had 140 total yards and a touchdown, one of the best running backs in week 14, which made it very easy to want to start him in week 15. Was basically a no-brainer and a lot of start sit questions or any flex options, and then he let a lot of people down because he went out there against the Chiefs in a matchup that is a winnable matchup. They give up a lot of efficiency to opposing running backs, and he only had 46 total yards. Now, he still did see a good roll, 16 touches, 17 opportunities, caught 5+ passes for the second straight week, but he just didn't get there. Now, if he finds the end zone, it's a totally different story here, but the efficiency on the ground wasn't there. But as we touched on with his receiving work here, his overall touches, the roll was still fantastic with Stevenson out, and Stevenson is expected to miss at least another week or two. And here is that specific roll according to Fantasy Life, again, our official data partner. You go from 91% of the snaps in week 14, still strong, 88% of the snaps in week 15, 96% of the rush attempts in week 14. That shrunk this past week where he saw 69% of the snaps. But if you look at just his overall backfield carries, take out some of the wide receiver and quarterback carries, he saw about 75% of the rush attempts. But more importantly, he was pulled late in this game. This should have been even higher. Basically, Zeke's not coming off the field the last 2 weeks, and now he's in a much more favorable matchup, probably the best matchup that he'll see all season long. Even though he's a 6.5-point underdog on the road, it's still a nice spot against the Denver Broncos defense that has been definitely improving the past month and a half of the season. They got Patrick Surtain back and healthy. Their secondary has been good, but their run defense, like you just saw last week, has not been good. Whether it was earlier this year when they gave up 70 points to the Dolphins and those running backs combined for like 4 or 5 touchdowns and over 250 total yards against them, or if it was last week when the Detroit Lions running backs, you can see right here, combined for 185 rushing yards on just 28 opportunities, so they were averaging 6.6 yards per carry. Denver's run defense has still been bad all year. Top 5 production they allow to opposing backs. So like I mentioned, even as a 6 to 7 point underdog, Ezekiel Elliott is still fine here. He should see at least a dozen touches on the ground. He should still continue to be involved as a receiver. He's averaging 7 targets per game the last 2 weeks. Start Zeke this game. And now let's talk about a guy who I would consider a pickup and play option because he is available in 95% of fantasy leagues as I record this, if we look at the Yahoo fantasy leagues as a reference point. And that's Parker Washington, the 5th-round rookie out of Penn State for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the reason why he is a pickup and play option for you heading into week 16, we know Christian Kirk is going to be out for the rest of the season. And then you look at Zay Jones here, and he tweaked his hamstring. Consider week to week, he's probably going to now miss at a minimum 1 week and probably the rest of the fantasy postseason. And as I mentioned, Parker Washington, you can look right here on Yahoo, he's only rostered in 5% of leagues. So again, there's probably a lot of leagues that just people are eliminated. They're not still in the playoffs, so this number's not going to change all that much, but 95% of leagues probably means yours if you're watching this. Now, the rookie Washington has been pretty good. He's played in the slot. He's played on the outside. He's not working as much downfield so far, but that might change now that Zay Jones is out. But honestly, we'll take the Christian Kirk role from him on the underneath. In week 15, he was operating as the wide receiver 3 until Zay Jones went down, so he earned 6 targets in a game where he was operating as a wide receiver 3. That's solid. He's now had 6 targets in 2 out of his last 3 games with Trevor Lawrence, so Lawrence clearly is trusting the guy at least to this extent. And a big reason why he's a pickup and play outside of now going in a top 5 passing offense in terms of passing volume, well, his matchup is great. Because this week, Jacksonville is going to be favorites, a 1-point favorite, so it's basically a pick'em game here and two teams trying to fight for the postseason against the Buccaneers, who right now allow the 3rd most production to opposing wide receivers, and we saw this just last week when Parker Washington's a rookie, right? A middle round rookie, they just gave up production to 2 rookies last week in Green Bay. Jaden Reed produced 14.2 points despite leaving twice with injury, and Dontayvion Wicks, a 5th-round rookie, produced 97 yards on 6 catches. So I expect Parker Washington to find success in this game, be a flex option for you, and in a matchup where the Bucks give up the 5th most explosive plays, I think we might see one here for Parker. So we talked about a Jets player earlier in the video. It might seem gross to talk about another one, but they're the only 2 of real consequence here. We have to talk about Breece Hall because last week his usage was pretty bad. Hall went out there and he had 6 carries for 12 yards. If you look at his like last 6 to 7 weeks of the season, a lot of his yards per carry have not been great. A lot of the reasons are really not his fault, but his overall role hasn't been all that bad. So he's scoring less than 3 points last week, but that was against the number two ranked Miami Dolphins run defense that over the last month of the season is only allowing 2.5 yards per carry to players like Breece Hall and also other good backs like Derrick Henry. But do not let this performance last week blind you and automatically make you place him on your bench this week. No, think long and hard about it because he has a nice matchup. And let me just remind you what his role was before that stinker last week. A stinker in which they got blown out 30-0. So he came off the field and didn't even really get a fair shake. He didn't play basically the entire fourth quarter as the rookie Israel Abanikanda played 38% of the snaps, which was clearly mostly blowout run. But as you can see on Fantasy Life's data right here, before that, in his four games before that, you were seeing about 9.75, this number down here, carries per game. All right, that's not great. But if you scroll over to his targets, 7.75. So he was seeing about 17.5 opportunities per game and over 7 targets per game on average. I mean, that alone is going to give you a very strong floor in any half PPR or PPR formats. And then you look at the matchup like we discussed with Garrett Wilson, and it's a good one. He's at home. He's a favorite. This is a very rare situation for Breece Hall. He might get Aaron Rodgers out there. Who knows? Who will throw it down to his running backs like he did with Aaron Jones? And just a reminder, the last player to face Washington last week, they've been giving it up a lot on the ground to running backs, was Kyren Williams, where he had 32 touches on 34 opportunities and goes for over 150 total yards in a score. I mean, I'm not really expecting this type of game, but we know Breece Hall has the upside to do it. I just think you're going to see overall a nice game on both the ground and in the receiving department. It's basically now or never for Breece Hall in your lineup. If you're not starting him this week in this matchup, then you probably shouldn't even have him on your team. Now, another guy you need to start in his matchup this week is Jordan Addison, and hopefully you started him last week. I know a lot of people sat him because Justin Jefferson was back, and rightfully so in a lot of cases, but Jordan Addison, he balled out. He caught all 6 of his targets, so 100% catch rate for over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns in a game where it was a very beneficial matchup against Cincinnati in their secondary. A lot of attention in this game was on Justin Jefferson, and for good reason. And Addison has had these performances a lot this year. He doesn't get a ton of volume. 6 targets, just 18% of the targets in this game, but he produces on that volume. He's highly efficient. Because in this game where Justin Jefferson was kind of questionable but ended up saying that he will play, he goes out there and he sees 30% of the targets, a team high, almost double what Addison saw. But despite that, Addison was still able to produce. Like I said, he's been doing that for most of the year. And it should only continue this week because the matchup is fantastic. They're at home. They're going to be 3-point underdogs with that at home, which naturally just over time correlates to more passing volume for that underdog offense. And their matchup against the Lions is fantastic. Detroit now ranks 29th in coverage, allowing the 3rd most explosive plays on the year. And those explosive plays are plays of 20 plus yards. They're allowing that specifically to the wide receiver position. So expect Justin Jefferson to finally have a massive game, even with Nick Mullins out there, but also expect Jordan Addison to have a lot of upside here. And a player I continue to see have upside is Isaiah Likely, because he now for the 2nd straight week has produced in this Mark Andrews role. This was now the 2nd straight game of 5 catches, 70 yards, at least 70 yards and a touchdown for Likely. In week 14, we saw it and people said, oh, it was a fluky 50 yard blown coverage touchdown. Okay, well then he did it in a lot of different ways in week 15. He did it in a little bit more of a difficult matchup against Jacksonville. He did it beating guys downfield and splitting defenders. And the role since Mark Andrews went down with injury has been fantastic. Check it out. According to Fantasy Life's data, Isaiah Likely in these 3 games without Mark Andrews has ran 87% of the routes and earned 20% of the targets. I mean, these are top 10, easily top 10 tight end numbers. Anytime on average you're seeing 80% of the routes run for your offense, those tight ends in fantasy average a top 10 finish for that week. He's done it every single week pretty easily. And now this week he's going to have a much better matchup than it seems. You look at the 49ers, they're very basically 6-point favorites at home. You think about their defense and all the talent they have, and you say that's pretty brutal for a second year tight end than Isaiah Likely, but I say, yeah, I don't think so. But now here's the thing about this defense. They are a zone defense. They allow you to check the ball down to pass catching running backs into talented tight ends. And this offense doesn't really have pass catching running backs. They lost Keontae Mitchell last week. Sure, Justice Hill's there, but it's mostly going to be Likely, in my opinion, to beat the zone. And we just saw this happen 1 week ago with Trey McBride, who I would say is a similar level talent to Isaiah Likely. These second year players, I would take Trey McBride right now from what we've seen over him, but in the same matchup had 10 catches, had over 100 yards, and was doing exactly that. Not a lot of big plays downfield, but a lot of zone defense beating routes where he was just sitting in the zone and catching these 5 to 10 yard passes. So in my opinion, continue to start Isaiah Likely. Now, if you have Isaiah Likely and say a Trey McBride, I would take Trey McBride there, but Likely is going to be a borderline top 10 option this week. And I've gotten a lot of questions about the Chiefs backfield and Isaiah Pacheco. Reports have come out now that Pacheco is going to return. Those were after we recorded the Clyde Edwards-Helaire video earlier in the week, but Isaiah Pacheco, yes, indeed, he's back from the shoulder injury. Assuming no setbacks, I think he's going to be a full go. They're not going to put him out there with the playoffs coming close if he's at all at risk of getting a setback. So I do think if he plays, he'll be a full go, and obviously you want him if that's the case, because he's been one of the best backs in football basically since like week 3 or 4 of the season when he took over the full backfield. The last time we saw him in week 13 against Green Bay, 120 plus yards, 20 plus more touches, 20 plus more fantasy points. Fantastic. And over his last month of the season from weeks 9 to 13, and you can can go back even further than this, but I just want to look at a more recent sample, the most recent that we have. He's seen about 70% of the snaps in this offense and 78% of the rush attempts. During that time, he's easily a top 10 running back. Obviously, he's in all of your lineups this week. Even if you're in like an 8 or a 10 man league, I would still be taking Pacheco. Because all of the usage stuff we just said is fantastic, and then you look at the matchup and you're like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. As a 10-point home favorite against the Raiders, who give up the 6th most rushing yards already on the season to opposing teams, in a game where the Chiefs have just been losing games left and right this year and they want to win, I think you're going to see a lot of aggression out of this offense. Pacheco out there for 75% of the snaps, 20-plus touches, that will fare well in this matchup. And let me just point out this crazy stat. Patrick Mahomes running backs average over 15 points per game when they are 10-point favorites in his career. So for any reason you had any type of hesitation, or maybe you have some other nice players on your team and you just wanted to kind of get some confidence behind your pick, yes, indeed, start Pacheco in week 16. So these have been some of the players I've gotten the most questions about. I think they're in some of the best matchups and situations this week, and indeed, you should be starting them where you can. Now, another way to improve your team to be a championship roster or just try and avoid that toilet bowl last place game is on the waiver wire, and yes, indeed, it's still important, especially when you're looking ahead. This video right here will show you exactly who you should be targeting on the waivers in your league. Now, I appreciate you all a ton for tuning in all season long. We'll have some other videos, some bold predictions heading into 2024, some things that I got wrong, but in terms of the analysis videos, this might be the last one of the year with the holidays coming up and just so happen to falling on the Sunday into Monday type workflows and travel flows. So I appreciate you all a ton. If you're not already subscribed, be sure to do that so you can see the future content when it does start to come out in a few weeks. Other than that, enjoy your holidays. Happy holidays to all of you, and have a happy new year.